Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Clark Kellogg getting us ready for some March Madness. Clark, good morning. What's happening? How are you?
I'm terrific, Gio and Boomer. Great to hang out with you. Obviously, this is a fantastic time of year on the sports calendar for all folks that love college basketball, but even those who are casual fans, because you can get into the brackets a little bit and have some fun with that. And for us that get the privilege and blessing of covering it, it's as good as it gets. And well, I've been at it for a while.
Yeah. The good news is that we got you before the tournament.
That's right. I knew you were going there. Oh, I knew you were going there.
I mean, the way you used to, you know, bunker yourself
what,
up.
What do you mean used to? Oh, it still happens.
Why?
But
why do you do that?
Why do I do that? Because I need a chance to recalibrate and recharge. I'm looking at the brackets all day long between, starting now, probably Friday I'll start looking at potential seeds and so forth. And then we have the selection show. Yep. And then we do post-selection show media. I'm ready to veg out with my girlfriend, my wife for 35 years.
You can veg out after the fact.
I will.
Like the most important time for you.
No, it's not. Monday for me is the most important time to recharge, refuel, restore,
now,
reinvigorate. You want any more R words? You want any more R words?
I can't even imagine me restoring, reinvigorating,
whatever. You're talking to the wrong guy about
that. Super Bowl. Oh, my God. I'm like, this is my time.
Hey, there's different ways to get to a good result. For me, it's important that I take that time off to not even look at my bracket, and then give my hard drive a chance to re and defragment.
All right. Well, I know you're a bright guy and everything else. How much
selection
money did
show, by the way? Let me just get it's on TBS this year.
How much money did Ohio State give you to go to school there?
It was simply the power of the Buckeye Nation. Yeah, I'm a Cleveland native, a Northeastern Ohio native, and there's nothing quite like Buckeye Nation, and I say that with great affection.
So you knew you were going to go there?
No, I did not. No. It actually came down to Ohio State and Michigan. I visited Kentucky and Notre Dame. You were allowed 6 visits when I came out of high school back in 79. I only took 4. Wasn't interested in wasting anybody's time. It gave my parents a chance to go on those visits with me. I knew I wanted to stay reasonably close to home so my dad could come to the game. He did not miss a home game in the 3 years that I was in Columbus. He made an effort to get there with either his partner or some friends. He was a policeman for over 40 years, so he had some flexibility in his work schedule, but he did not miss a home game.
That's awesome.
That's really great. One of my great memories. So for me, it was the right call. Michigan was, and they were all really good schools. I mean, Kentucky, obviously, we know about their basketball prowess and a good school as well. And then, obviously, Notre Dame, Michigan, and Ohio State, all outstanding schools.
They didn't have to pay you to go.
No, they did not. No, they did not have to
pay you to go.
People assume that I got a brown bag, but I did not. Okay. I just got the love and support of a great institution and the Buckeye Nation.
So all the stuff that's going on now, the Sean Miller story, we can go on and on. We're heading into the tournament. Now, I think once that tournament starts, that the fans are going to get their brackets, they're going to be into it, and their office pools and everything else.
That's
Nobody's going to care.
That's right.
What do you think the
No,
cloud,
I'm with you, Gio. I'm with you. Obviously, we've got a cloud hovering over the game. There's no denying that. And we also know that the NCAA has some flaws. But some of it is their hands being tied based on them being an association that's private and doesn't have enforcement power and doesn't have some of the same tools that the FBI has that led to this investigation. Now, what's been leaked publicly, there's still some question as to how much of that is real or fabricated. But we'll find out. That cloud hovering over college basketball doesn't change the fact that between that 94-by-50-foot box, the kids, the coaches, the officials, the game is in a good place, and the drama, uncertainty, unpredictability of this 3 weeks is still going to captivate people. Now, if other information leaks, then obviously it'll have to be addressed, but the focus for all of us is on the games, because that's what it's about. You are here at work today despite what the weather might look like outside, and that's what we have to do. I mean, there's a cloud. We don't know what it's going to produce, but that doesn't keep us from focusing on the sunshine that's going to take place between those 94 by 50 foot boxes across multiple sites.
Talking to Clark Kellogg about the NCAA brackets and everything that's going to be happening here after this weekend. Sunday's the big show. I know that. You know, here's the thing about NCAA basketball, and I've been saying it here for 10 years, Clark.
Okay.
It's dirty, and it's dirty because of the coaches. The coaches make it dirty. Not all the coaches. There are a lot of great coaches.
That's right. That's right.
Gary Williams was a great coach. Mm-hmm. I love Gary Williams, and I love how he treated the University of Maryland, never put us in a bad light, always coached his butt off, never really liked to recruit because he didn't like to get down in the dirt with you know, with the AAU coaches out there that think that they're doing something for kids who need something to be done for them. Mm-hmm. And I get all of that. I get the altruism that's associated with that. But what I don't like is when a coach has the incentive to tell a guy who's on his staff to go do something and do it without me knowing about it because I have plausible deniability and therefore I'm not going to be held accountable, when in fact that the coaches make so much money now that it is in their best interest for them to win to get the best players.
Cannot deny anything that you said. Now, again, I like the fact that you didn't paint all the coaches with the same brushes.
Like,
as a matter of fact, the vast majority are not. The reality is this stuff has gone on. It's been going on. And we've now gotten to a point where there's a real appetite to address it and
I
to change
so.
It. No, I don't think there's any doubt. It's going to take some time, though, Boomer. That's the other thing. It's going to take a little time. And you're right. Coaches, if involved, those who have chosen to go that route, have been incentivized, if you look at it that way, from the standpoint of how commercial and business-like the game is, the money that's available. Now, there are a lot of tentacles on how you get to dealing with the money that's in the game, because the property is a money property, clearly. No doubt about that. But we have to find a way to revisit the concept of amateurism.
I know how to stop it.
Talk to me.
Guy gets caught with his hand in the cookie jar. He's fired immediately. Does not get any payout or payoff.
Okay.
Every contract should have that caveat in it.
Okay.
And then at the end of the day, he shouldn't be allowed to come back into college basketball for a minimum 5 years.
I
think that would scare the crap out of the coaches, and it wouldn't allow the underlings to go out there with their.
Believe me, those things are all on the table and being discussed. Those are institutional decisions. They hunt back to how you structure contracts in terms of what's viable and what's not.
Every school should have the same contract, have the same language.
There's 1,100 schools, I think, in the NCAA.
I get
across multiple divisions. So that's the complexity of a structure. Simplistically, clearly what you're talking about is perhaps a viable solution. Getting to that point is going to take some major work. So I'm not disagreeing with you, but the process has to be played out. And again, my thing is there's a real appetite because of what's been revealed for this to change, and it's going to start to happen slowly but surely. I think as soon as this summer or fall before the next basketball, some changes being implemented.
Don't you think those guys, and I know that, look, you love the sport, I love the sport.
Yeah, sure.
And I know it happens in football as much as it probably happens in basketball.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Don't you feel like sometimes that these coaches and these, you know, other than the scum of the earth that basically takes advantage of these poor kids. Now, I know that it's not really the kids' fault. I guess if somebody offered me $100,000 and I'd
be taking
poor, I would take it.
Hey, it's hard. It's disheartening on every level when you care about the game. And more importantly, you care about the kids. Now, it's a complex web. The environment needs to be recalibrated and reset. And to me, a big part of it is the character and integrity of those in positions of leadership. We rarely address that aspect of it. Just because a system tempts you to do things and you feel like there's a reward monetarily or stature-wise for doing it, that doesn't mean you have to do that just because everybody else does.
Well, do it by the books, you get fired, though. That's the problem, you're not winning. You know?
I understand, but that's a whole other element to this complex web. And again, there's work being done. There's a college commission on basketball that's really looking at all aspects and all tentacles of how to begin to bring forth some substantive recommendations that the NCAA board of governors and so forth will look at and then implement those. And then you'll get on a track towards cleaning it up. And there has to be significant, stringent, zero-tolerance policies in place for violations once you get to a place where the rules make sense and you start to adjust that type of stuff.
We're talking to Clark Kellogg. Now, you've been in the studio with Barkley the last couple of years, right?
Yes, I have. And Kenny Smith and Ernie Johnson, right. Greg Gumbel, Seth Davis, our whole family.
Do you ever throw something at Barkley just for your own entertainment
Can't do it. Him and Kenny, him and Kenny throw enough stuff at each other for all of us.
If you were like, we're good. Give me your take on the Lipscomb bench. Like, is it, would you do that to him?
And then No, I can't. I have such it's been such a joy hanging out with those guys the last few years. They know basketball. They're naturally funny and good guys, all three of them. And Greg is as good as it gets, Seth as well. So I'm fortunate. I enjoy what we do. I enjoy our chemistry and rapport. And again, when you have naturally funny guys next to you who share a love and knowledge of the game, it's hard not to enjoy yourself. And I do. Thoroughly.
If you had to predict that the four number one seeds right now, and I know we have to go through a few more tournaments here, who do you think the four number one
Well, I think Villanova's locked on the one line regardless of what happens going forward. I think Nova would be there as well.
Virginia,
Nova. And then probably Xavier's in a pretty good spot. Then after that, it's probably Kansas or Duke. I don't know if there's any other team that could get to the one line based on what is already in the barn in terms of
How did you like the Big Ten here in New York City?
I felt like it was really good. I went to the Michigan State Wisconsin game Friday afternoon. Then I obviously went to the Ohio State Penn State game on Friday night. A third time we went down to the Nittany Lions, but I thought the energy. I mean, that building is special, Boomer, as you well know.
There was some controversy
because you had to play the compressed schedule in order to get on this particular day. To get into the Garden, you had to take the earlier week because the Big East is there. So there was some, but I think once the players got there logistically, it was. But I tell you what, the environment, the energy, and
it's
I think
stand alone,
anecdotally,
right?
If you surveyed the coaches and players. I think it's a thumbs up,
And let's face it, if you are recruiting in this area, you want to have the Big Ten tournament here because of the hotbed of
it's
a
buzz that
town,
it's a buzz you can't manufacture elsewhere. When you come to this city and play in that building, it felt that way when I played in the pros with the Pacers. It felt that way when I had a chance at Ohio State. We played a game against Princeton in there. Feels that way whenever you go there to broadcast, whether it's Big East, whatever it is. When you go to the Garden, you feel like you're on Broadway.
Too bad it doesn't happen for the Knicks that way.
Hopefully in time.
Do you think other conferences are going to look at what the Big Ten did and said, you know, maybe we can get a little bit more exposure with this and then move up the tournament, condense the schedule ourselves?
I don't think that would be something that teams and conferences would like to do on a regular basis. I really don't. This was an exception. It was a special venue.
But it worked out really well.
It did work out well. I agree with you wholeheartedly, but just because something is good doesn't mean you're going to do it more than every now.
Everybody's copycat, though, you know?
No, there's a herd mentality that exists in everything. I understand that. But again, I think with Indianapolis and Chicago on tap the next few years, and those places have been really great hosts for the Big Ten tournament, I just don't know if we'll see. I would hope they would revisit the Garden because we were in D.C. The Big Ten Conference tournament was in D.C. And, again, with the presence of Rutgers and Maryland, makes sense to try to get here in this part of the country.
It's so weird when you say Rutgers and Maryland.
I know. Well, you can say that about a lot of conferences.
Do you think, my whole thing about the ACC coming here to New York now at the Barclays Center, that's a great fit, too, as well.
Sure.
I mean, it's still Brooklyn. It's still New York. And it's a special building.
Hey, man, you're speaking – I mean, you don't have to convince me of that. This is a special place to play basketball because of the number of people, the fan base, the magnetism of the venues. I've not been to Barclays for the ACC, but, I mean, sitting in there for the Big Ten, it felt big. It felt large. It felt special, and that's what – kids want to experience. That's the kind of experience you'd like to give your student athletes when they get a chance to play these conference. I never played a conference tournament. They weren't in existence, at least in the Big Ten back then in the late 70s. It didn't start until, I want to say, 98 maybe in the Big Ten.
Right.
One of the later conferences to go to the postseason conference tournament.
Now, when you take that Monday off after the Selection Sunday show.
Nobody can find me but my girlfriend. I'm telling you. My girlfriend.
You're combing through the brackets. You're going through that, all right?
I don't go through the brackets on Monday.
Oh, you don't?
I don't even look at them, man.
You really don't.
Do you guys want to tape me and follow me around on Monday?
Kind of a weird thing. Is it something we're
Why is it weird? Why can't you guys get your arms around that? That there's a reason. There's a time. The Bible says there's a time and season for everything.
Well, this and is the time and season
time,
for that.
There's a time to heal.
Yeah.
There's a time to pray.
I mean, wouldn't
there's
that
a time
be
to
after
rest.
The national
there's
championship
There's a time
game.
To recalibrate. There's a time to rejuvenate. There's a time to hang out with your girlfriend.
All right,
okay?
All right.
And for me, the Monday after Selection Sunday is a wonderful time to disappear. I might watch a movie. I might read a book.
Wouldn't
but
it be
I'm going
like
to
the
enjoy
Tuesday after the national championship game?
No, because I want to ramp up. See, in order to get to
all
the
right,
peak,
right.
I got to go down,
right.
And then I start the ascension. And then by the time we get to April Championship Monday,
you're there.
I'm at my highest
at
level.
Peak,
and
right.
then after that, my colleagues are off to the Masters,
yeah.
and I'm off on vacation.
Well,
okay.
there you go.
There you go.
There's a vacation.
Quickly, do you think that it hurts the Big Ten that their conference now – the tournament is over, and they're going to have to wait.
No way to predict that, Boomer. Right. You know, depending on what happens, you can cut that any way you want to.
Right.
You know, you can manipulate, you can torture silly putty or statistics or circumstances to say whatever you want them to say. So for those who are, and you know coaches are typically superstitious.
Sure
and
they are.
So if things go bumpy and don't work out, perhaps they'll look and say part of it was the long layoff. If they roll through, the rest helped us.
The rest.
Right,
yeah,
right, yeah. So I think it cuts both ways, and we won't know.
Hey,
we won't know. Every team will respond to it differently.
Who is the best team in college basketball right now that nobody really knows of? I mean, we know Virginia, we know Villanova, obviously Xavier, Michigan State. Michigan obviously showed something in this tournament
Well,
here.
I mean, with all of the information out there, if you're following the game, then you know of these teams, but perhaps lesser profiled or lesser – Less visibility or notoriety. I would put Texas Tech in there, particularly if Keenan Evans is back healthy. He had a toe injury recently, but he looked like he was healthy in their most recent game. So Texas Tech, and they'll be a relatively high seed, I would think, somewhere on the top four lines. That's a really good team. Clemson lost a key player, but they have really good guards. I'll give you a couple of teams outside of the Power Five that you can keep an mm-hmm. eye on. Bucknell, if they get by Colgate, in the Patriot League Championship is a team that tested itself greatly during the non-conference and has the kind of size and perimeter play mm-hmm. that could be problematic. And then there's a team out of the MAC that maybe will win a game or two as well, Buffalo. If in fact, you know, they have to get through their conference tournament.
Yeah, I know everything that there's
a contingent. Yeah, there's
right.
a contingent.
So I get it, but I just wanted to know if there was a team like you just pointed out. Like, I wouldn't even know. What?
Lipscomb.
Yeah.
And Gonzaga is really good. But everybody knows.
But
most people
knows who they are.
Yeah,
Texas Tech, I wouldn't know.
Okay. All right. So I gave you one.
Yeah,
so you're happy.
Definitely. And Buffalo, too.
Yeah. Okay. There's just a
I
few
know
little,
all the,
just,
we all know the big schools. We all know what's going on there. Is there a team?
I'll tell you another team that to keep an eye on is Texas A&M. They were really hot early and then had some injuries, some suspensions to guys, and now have regrouped. I feel like they're a tournament team. Even as an at-large, but they could be a 7-8 seed, perhaps, that could get to San Antonio.
How about the other way? Is there one of these teams that's at the top of the rankings that obviously is probably not worthy of that? Just because maybe their schedule wasn't as strong as it should have been, or like, is Duke going to get upset again? Let's hope it happens, you know.
Well, you know, the thing about this year is that the teams that are at the top that'll be on those top three seed lines – all have reasonable flaws, more so than we've seen that group of teams in the past in recent years. I mean, I think the total number of losses of those teams on the top three lines will probably be more than we've had. I'd have to go back and check. So they all have – none of them are overwhelming or dominant favorites. The talent at Duke is very impressive. The way they've played the zone defense of late makes Seth Davis really happy because he's a zone proponent.
Yes.
But also it makes it tougher on their opponents. So I think they could – they could find a way to accelerate Michigan's plan as well as anybody in the country.
You know why? You know why Seth Davis likes his own? He doesn't like the work. Somebody else to do the work.
I didn't say it, Seth.
Unbelievably enough, first four a week from today, Selection Sunday, obviously this coming Sunday on TBS this year, and of course the CBS, TBS properties. You can watch all the games.
That's right.
Every game televised. True TV.
Yep.
You find where that is again. All that stuff. It's an exciting time of year. We thank Clark Kellogg for being
here. My pleasure, Gio. Boomer. Great to hang out with you guys. Hey,
enjoy your Monday day off.
I will next
week. We are live from the Investors Bank studios here at WFN.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.